Okay, we began a study last week called Faith Plus. Faith Plus. And friend, I'm here to tell you today that God has got something good for you in store. He's got a next level for your life. He's got a higher level of transportation for you. You may be riding a bicycle right now. He may have a car in store for you. You're living here at the shelter. It's a good place, but he may have an apartment and a house for you to live in. He's got another level for you in emotions. He's got another level for you in relationships. He's got a miracle, a blessing in store for you. And how many of us have heard messages on faith? All of us, right? And faith pleases God. The Word of God says, without faith, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God must believe that God exists and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith is great. What is faith?
Faith is believing that God will do what he says.
That's it. Faith is knowing that you know on the inside, in your knower, that God will do what his word says he can do for you. But faith is half the puzzle to receiving the miracle God has for your life. Last week we talked about the other part of the puzzle. And it's a good four-letter word. What is it? W-O-R-K. Work is a good thing, right? Basically, work is doing what? Work is putting action to your faith, because faith without works is dead. Now, what about Jesus, our Lord and Savior? He worked. He was a carpenter, according to Mark 6:3. Paul the Apostle, one of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament, he worked. He was a tent maker while he evangelized and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of people say, and I've heard people say, I'm waiting on God in faith for my miracle. I'm just waiting on God. I'm believing God for this miracle, for this next level, for this blessing. I'm believing. I'm waiting on God in faith. You know, some of those people may be waiting for a long time. You know, God may be waiting on us to do something with the faith we claim to have in him. And the something we can do is W-O-R-K, work. If you need one, you need to get a J-O-B, a job, right? Some elbow grease won't hurt anybody, right? All right. Today I want to talk about yet another part of the puzzle to receiving the miracle, the next level, the blessing that God has for you. What's this other puzzle piece? It is called Faith Plus, the Golden Rule. How many here know what the Golden Rule is? Not the Silver Rule, but the Golden Rule. Exactly. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7, tells us what the Golden Rule is. Matthew 7, verse 12. You have a Bible? You might want to turn there. All right? Matthew 7, 12. His brother's taking notes. That's a good thing. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How's another way of putting this? Treat others the way you'd want to be treated. In the same way you'd want someone to act toward you is the way you should act towards them. In modern English, put yourself in the other person's shoes and treat that person the way you would want to be treated if you were in the same situation. Should I say it again? In modern vernacular, put yourself in the other person's shoes and treat that person the way you would want to be treated if you were in a similar situation. Show other people the same godliness, Christ-likeness, and kindness that you would want to be shown. You agree with that today?
Yes.
You know, we know the Golden Rule. It's on the inside of us, but we need to practice it. And this weekend I got an email which I think illustrates this part of the message. It's called the sticker. Thought it was pretty good. The light turned yellow just in front of him. He did the right thing, stopping at the crosswalk, even though he could have beaten the red light by accelerating through the intersection. The tailgating woman, furious and honked her horn, screaming in frustration as she missed her chance to get through the intersection, dropping her cell phone and makeup. As she was still in mid-rant, she heard a tap on her window and looked up into the face of a very serious police officer. The officer ordered her to exit her car with her hands up. He took her to the police station where she was searched, fingerprinted, photographed, and placed in a holding cell. After a couple of hours, a policeman approached the cell and opened the door. She was escorted back to the booking desk where the arresting officer was waiting with her personal effects. He said, "I'm very sorry for this mistake. You see, I pulled up behind your car while you were blowing your horn, flipping off the guy in front of you, and cussing a blue streak at him. I noticed the 'What Would Jesus Do?' bumper sticker, the 'Choose Life' license plate holder, the 'Follow Me to Sunday School' bumper sticker, and the chrome-plated Christian fish emblem on the trunk. So naturally, I assumed you had stolen the car." It's kind of funny, isn't it? But there's a powerful message behind it. This woman knew the golden rule, right? She knew about Christ's likeness. It was being preached on her bumper stickers. But she was not practicing what her bumper sticker was preaching. She was not practicing what she knew. So, friends, in our lives, when the going gets tough, when the squeeze is put on us, will we do what the woman did, or would we do what Jesus Christ would do? Would we practice Christ's likeness, the golden rule, doing unto others as you would have them do unto you? Again, let me say, when the rubber meets the road in your life, will you practice what you know on the inside to be Christ-like, to practice the golden rule? Or will you practice what this woman practiced? What did she practice? She didn't practice WWJD, what would Jesus do? She practiced WWID, what would impatience do? We've got to practice what Jesus would do in a certain situation. Amen?
Amen.
All right, here's a thought, friends. Here's a thought. Most times in life, most times in your life, God is going to work a miracle in your existence, in your being. He's going to bring you to the next level. He's going to bring a blessing into your life while you are in relationship with somebody else. Should I say it again? Most times in your life, God is going to bring you to the next level. He's going to bring you to that miracle, that blessing, while you are in relationship with another human being. And the way you treat that someone else may determine whether or not you go to the next level in life. You know, this lady in the sticker, the story I just read, she sowed some pretty bad seeds into the driver in front of her, right? So she ended up in a holding cell. That was her harvest on the seed she planted. And who knows what else? Maybe fines. You know, red tape. But you know, we will reap a harvest off the seeds that we sow. Let's sow Christ-like seeds into the lives of other people, because it's through people that God brings about miracles. You know, God is the miracle-working God. He's the God of the impossible. You know, He can cause your mattress or your bag or your book to become a block of gold if He wanted. But most times God is not going to operate that way. He's going to operate miracles and blessings through other people. So let's treat others well. Making sense? All right, for the next few minutes, let's talk about some practical applications of the golden rule. Some practical applications of the golden rule, doing to others as we would have them do unto us. Ask yourself in relating to others. Here's the main question. Ask yourself this question as you're in relationship with others. WWCD. What would Christ do? What would Christ do? And for the purposes of this message, let's say we're talking about the person you work for, your employer, your boss, the company that you're with right now. What would Christ do? Number one, your word. Your word. How good is your word? How good is your word? Let's say your boss asks you, let's concentrate on the word. Let that be outside. Let's say your boss asks you and said, "I want you to be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning. Be at work at 8 o'clock in the morning, right? And you tell your boss, boss, I promise you I'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning tomorrow. Right? So tomorrow comes around and 8:30 comes around and 9 o'clock comes around and you don't show up. Oh, boss, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry, but my alarm went off 45 minutes late. But I promise you, tomorrow on Tuesday, I'll be there at 8 o'clock in the morning. And so the next day comes around, and you receive a phone call. And your boss says, where were you? It's 9 o'clock. And you say, well, I'm sorry, I received this unexpected phone call from a family member. And I was counseling this person. I was doing a good deed towards this relative. I'm sorry for being late, for being here at 9 o'clock. But I promise you, tomorrow, Wednesday, I'll be here at 8 o'clock in the morning. And the next morning comes around, 8:30, and you're not there. And 9 o'clock, you're not there. 10 o'clock, you show up at the job site. And your boss asks you, why are you 2 hours late? Well, boss, I am so sorry. I couldn't fall asleep until 6 o'clock in the morning. I needed that extra hour to do a good job for you. Friends, if you repeatedly break your word, you might not have the job anymore. So the question is, your word, how good is your word? He's paying you for 8 hours a day, right? So you need to do the assignment your boss is assigning you. And do it with your whole heart. Amen? Amen. Ask yourself this question. WWCD, what would Christ do regarding his word? What would he do? He would do what now? He would keep his word. Let's turn to James 5, verse 12. James 5, verse 12. And this is what it says. Above all, my brothers, do not swear, not by heaven, nor by earth, or by anything else. Let your yes be yes, and your no, no, or you will be condemned. What is he saying? What is he saying? He says, don't swear by heaven or by earth. You know, you may go to your boss and say, man, boss, I swear to you I will do this for you. I swear I'll be there at this time. I'll work until this time. He's saying, don't swear. Just let your yes be yes and your no, no. What is James saying? He's plainly saying in James 5:12, just be a person of your word. Just keep your word. How many of us have heard this? A person is as good as his word. It's so very true, isn't it? So some practical applications of the golden rule. Ask yourself, how good is my word? Do I keep my word? If the boss tells you to stay until 5:30, stay until 6. That's what Christ would do. If he tells you to come in at 8 o'clock, what would Jesus do? He'd come in at 7:45. We're to be imitators of Jesus Christ, and if you please your boss in that way, he will bless you. He will promote you. Do unto your boss as you would want an employee to do to you. Making sense?
Yep.
Number two, another practical application of the golden rule, your honesty. Your sense of honesty and truthfulness. How Christ-like is it? How Christ-like is it? If the situation arises to test your honesty, will you tell the truth or lie? If a situation arises to test your sense of honesty, will you tell the truth or will you distort it? Ask yourself in that situation, WWCD, what would Christ do? What would Christ do? Think of the golden rule. I will do to my boss in this situation what I would want somebody else to do to me. Now let's read this story here. I received this story a while back, and it was a good one. A successful Christian businessman was growing old and knew it was time to choose a successor to take over the business. Instead of choosing one of his directors or his children, he decided to do something different. He called all the young executives in his company together. He said, it's time for me to step down and choose the next CEO. I have decided to choose one of you. The young executives were shocked, but the boss continued. I'm going to give each of you a seed today, one very special seed. I want you to plant the seed, water it, and come back here 1 year from today with what you have grown from the seed I have given you. I will then judge the plants that you bring, and the one I choose will be the next CEO. One man named Jim was there that day, and he, like the others, received a seed. He went home excitedly, told his wife the story. She helped him get the pot, soil, and compost, and planted the seed. Every day he would water it and watch to see if it had grown. After about 3 weeks, some of the other executives began to talk about their seeds and the plants that were beginning to grow. Jim kept checking his seed, but nothing ever grew. 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks went by, still nothing. By now, others were talking about their plants, but Jim didn't have a plant and he felt like a failure. 6 months went by, still nothing in Jim's pot. He just knew he had killed a seed. Everyone else had trees and tall plants, but he had nothing. Jim didn't say anything to his colleagues, however. He just kept watering and fertilizing the soil. He so wanted the seed to grow. A year finally went by, and all the young executives of the company brought their plants to the CEO for inspection. Jim told his wife that he wasn't going to take an empty pot. But she asked him to be honest about what happened. Here it is, friend. Jim felt sick in his stomach. It was going to be the most embarrassing moment of his life, but he knew his wife was right. He took the empty pot to the boardroom. When Jim arrived, he was amazed at the variety of plants grown by the other executives. They were beautiful, in all shapes and sizes. Jim put his empty pot on the floor, and many of his colleagues laughed. A few felt sorry for him. When the CEO arrived, he surveyed the room and greeted his young executives. Jim just tried to hide in the back. "My, what great plants, trees, and flowers you have grown," said the CEO. "Today, one of you will be appointed the next CEO." All of a sudden, the CEO spotted Jim at the back of the room with his empty pot. He ordered the financial director to bring him to the front. Jim was terrified. He thought, "The CEO knows I'm a failure. Maybe he will have me fired." When Jim got to the front, the CEO asked him what had happened to his seed. Jim told the whole story. The CEO asked everyone to sit down except Jim. He looked at Jim and then announced to the young executives, here's the climax, "Behold your next chief executive. His name is Jim." Jim couldn't believe it. Jim couldn't even grow a seed. "How could he be the new CEO?" the other said. Then the CEO said, one year ago today, I gave everyone in this room a seed. I told you to take the seed, plant it, water it, and bring it back to me today. But I gave you all boiled seeds. They were dead. It was not possible for them to grow. All of you except Jim have brought me trees and plants and flowers. When you found that the seed would not grow, you substituted another seed for the one I gave you. Jim was the only one with the courage and honesty to bring me a pot with my seed in it. Therefore, he is the one who will be the new chief executive. Isn't that awesome? Isn't that awesome? Jim practiced the golden rule. He did the very thing he would have wanted one of his employees to do to him. He was honest. He told the truth. "Mr. CEO, I planted your seed, but it didn't grow." He was being watched and tested. And as a result of planting the seed of honesty into the life of the CEO, what happened? He reaped an awesome harvest. What was Jim's harvest? It was promotion, the position of being the next CEO of the company. He went from here to the top. He was promoted. He was blessed. A miracle occurred in his life. Why? Because he was honest with his employer. He planted seeds of truthfulness and honesty. And if Jim could do it, friends, we can do it. Be honest in all things and God will bless you abundantly. People are watching us. Amen? Amen. Promotion came into his life. So your honesty, let me ask you again, how Christ-like is it? Do unto others, do unto your boss, as you would have others, your employees, do unto you. Number three, the third practical application of the golden rule, your serve. Your serve, like a volleyball serve. So it's a different kind of serve. Your serve. Is it me-centered or is it other-centered? Think about that for a second. Is your serve me-centered or is it other-centered. You know, your boss, the person you work for, the company you work for, knows whether you're there for me, myself, and I, or if you're there to serve the client and the company. Does that make sense? You know, some people go to work for their own agenda, trying to get out of it what they can get. But the boss knows what's going on. Last year, about 10 months ago, August of 2008, it was hot. How many know that in August, in Tulsa, Oklahoma, it gets really hot, right? And I'm not going to say the name of the shelter, but there was a young man I hired from one of the shelters here in downtown Tulsa to work on a landscaping job with me. And he came to the job that day, and he was needing money. He was needing to buy some clothing, some other essential items, and so I gave him the opportunity to work. Drove out here 30 minutes from South Tulsa, picked him up, brought him to the job site, and he was on the job site working, and he was texting back and forth, and texting and texting. I'm like, brother, what's going on, young man? He's like, man, I just can't seem to work, man. I had this disagreement with my girlfriend, and I can't seem to get over it. I'm texting back and forth with her. I'm like, brother, I'm paying you for an assignment. You shouldn't be talking on the phone or texting on the job site. He's like, man, I'm sorry. He just kept going on and on and on. And all at once, he just blew up and said, man, I don't even want to be here. I'm like, come on, man. You can use the money. Just give me an honest day's work, and I'm going to pay you. He's like, man, I'm just leaving the job site, man. I'm going back to the shelter. I'm going to hitchhike back. So I tried to convince him over like 20 or 30 minutes, man, just stay on the job site, work, and you'll be blessed financially. And he just wouldn't do it. He was just thinking about his situation. He was me-centered at that point. So he wouldn't stay on the job. I drove another 30 minutes back to the shelter, brought him, dropped him off, and I said to him, young man, let me tell you something. If you treated any other employer this way, any other boss, any other company this way, you wouldn't have a job. You would never have a job. And so, you know, about a month or two later, I saw him at the shelter again, and he said, man, would you forgive me? I'm working for $5 an hour in the sun, and I was paying him, I think, like $7. So I'm working for like $5 an hour in the sun. Would you forgive me and give me the job back? I said, sure, I'll forgive you. I'll give you another chance. Tried contacting him, calling him, never received a call back. But friends, you know what? The person you work for, your employer, the company you're serving, knows whether it's about me or whether it's about serving the customer and the company. Ask yourself this question. In working for someone, WWCD, what would Christ do if he were working for someone else as a carpenter? He would be what? He would be other-centered. He would be other-centered. Look at Colossians 3, verse 23. Colossians 3, verse 23. To close off this message. Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. Verse 24. Since you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward, it is the Lord Christ you are serving. Anyone who does wrong will be paid for his wrong, and there is no favoritism. It is the Lord Jesus Christ, verse 24 of Colossians 3, that you are serving. If Jesus came down from heaven in flesh and bone as your boss, you'd be on your best behavior, right? If he came down from heaven in flesh and bone and he was your boss, we'd be on our best behavior, right? Well, guess what? Think of your boss, your employer, the job as Jesus in disguise. When you serve the boss, when you serve the company, when you serve the client, you are serving Jesus himself. Treat the person you're working for as you would want to be treated if you were the person in charge. Friends, this is going to get you ahead in life. It's going to bring you to the next level, to the miracle, to the blessing that God has for you. And I just want to use Brett here, if you don't mind, as an illustration. Brett, he works with me during the week. I have a business. We work on people's homes in Tulsa. And Brett is a good man. He's the very opposite of this other person I hired from the shelter here in downtown Tulsa 10 months ago. He lives in a home, 61st and Yale. But he started working with me about 7 months ago. And Brett is a good guy, man. He's a person of his word. He says he's going to show up at 9:15 in the morning. He's there at 9:10. If he says he's going to work until 5 or 5:30, he works until 6. He keeps his word. He works diligently serving the client and the customer. He's practicing the golden rule, doing unto others as he would have done unto himself. And Brett, pretty much at the beginning of this year, wasn't really making much. He was where a lot of you are maybe financially today. He went from making very little or nothing to doing very well right now. Right, Brett? You want to say something about it?
Yeah, I'm just you know, I started out not having a job, and you know, I started working, and you know, I started making a little bit, and over time I got a raise, and actually I was able to start my own business.
Yes.
I got into the lawn mowing business, started, you know, the money that I was making with Jonathan, I was able to save up, buy my own equipment, and, you know, start my own business. And now I'm working Saturdays, and part of the day is Mondays, doing my own stuff. And, you know, he's really helped me, you know, planning that vision of, you know, getting out there and doing something, because I was just sort of sitting around, and, you know, it takes other people to help you,
right,
you know, implant that vision and motivate, you know, push you on. So
yeah, early. So the thing about Brett is, I noticed, I thought, man, he's a person of his word. He's an honest person. He's a person who's out there to serve. And I noticed Brett is a good guy. He's really putting his best effort into working with the company. And because he did that, like he said, I just, you know, we were talking about lawn care and stuff, and so through encouragement and through a process of time, I encouraged him and said, Brett, why don't you pick up some lawn customers that you can cut lawns for? And I think he cuts like 10 or 11 lawns right now, and he's doing really, really well. So he went from making really nothing around December, January, to doing really well right now. And if he could do it, friends, you can do it. But it's putting the golden rule into practice in your life. Are we going to try to do that this week? Your word, how good is it? Your honesty, how Christ-like is it? And your serve, is it me-centered or other-centered? Let's say it today. I'm a man of my word.
I'm a man of my word.
I'm Christ-like. In my honesty. And I will be other-centered in serving other people. And God will do a miracle in my life. He'll bring me to the next level. In Jesus' name. Amen.